In our recognition today of different people, we don't want to leave anyone out. And I'd like to everybody to know that Virginia's with us today. So thank you for coming this morning, Virginia. And guess what? She's going to celebrate tomorrow. A birthday. That's right. Daryl Scott, happy birthday, Daryl. And Virginia tomorrow. So. And who?
Diane and Ed.
Oh, okay, they're there. All of them. Okay, and Ed, Rudolph. So, I have a lot of birthdays. A lot of birthdays in September. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you. All right. Now, we're going to look at our second part of the cure for anxiety. And that's Matthew. The main text would be Matthew 26 through 30. But I'll be reading all verses. The verse I shared last week was verse 25. Today I start with verse 26. But just to give us clarity and understanding of what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, that way this gives us a whole scope, whole picture of what Jesus is talking about. Anytime Jesus spoke, it was important. Amen? It's worth our listening ears and our open heart to receive the message that Jesus always wants us to receive for our life, and that we can live a better life emotionally, spiritually, and physically, because we know that our needs are met. So first of all, let's look at verse 25. After Jesus said all these things up to this point, verse 24, then in 25 he said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor what your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in two barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow." And when you look at lilies, you can look at flowers, any flowers, those things of nature. "They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." How many know this verse by heart? Can we say it together? "But seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's a good one to memorize. And this verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that is true. That is true. So, looking at the cure for anxiety, as I said a few minutes ago, our primary passage today is verses 26 through 30. But from time to time, I will refer to Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 32, which is a gospel parallel. The gospel parallel with one another, and they parallel with the Sermon on the Mount, as we will see. And actually, we might call this a Luke's collection of events that take place that refer to the Sermon on the Mount and what we're talking about today. So, when I'm thinking about this particular message, these are spiritual parallels. As you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at how they parallel with one another, and John being the synoptic gospel, well, the first three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, are the synoptic gospel, and John, you know, is part of those gospels. But the spiritual parallel for the spiritual things people seek today. We seek for all of these things. And we should seek to feed the hidden person of the heart with spiritual food. That's how we learn. That's how we grow spiritually. Just as we seek food for our body. Matthew chapter 4:4. And then Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, talks about the spiritual food versus the spiritual food. And we should see that our spiritual garments that we wear, our spiritual makeup, our inner being, are in order, just as we fret over the physical garments that clothe our body. Now, we drink physical water, and that's good. God made water for our bodies to hydrate us, to keep us going. So we drink physical water, but we should also drink spiritual water of the life that Jesus Christ provides. He is the living water, isn't he? The living water. So there are three words as I was going back to last week and today and next week, as I was looking through this particular passage of Scripture, I saw three words that really stand out to me, and I hope you write them down, because these are the key words of this passage, I believe. As I was looking through them, they just stood out to me as a way that we can win victory in our life. And one of these is faith, and that's in verse 30. I read a few minutes ago, and it says, trusting God to meet our needs. Faith. We need faith in our life, right? We don't have faith. And that's why Jesus said here in one of these verses, in verse 30, you of little faith. He was looking at that, and he said it for a reason. Because they weren't looking at faith in Jesus to provide all of these things. So that's why he said, you have little faith. So we need faith. Trust God to meet our needs. And then the second word, key word for victory in life is Father. Verse 32, knowing he cares for his children. He does. He cares for us. And then Putting first, and that's the verse that we recited. seek ye first the kingdom of God, which means putting God's will first in our lives so that he might be glorified. Think about that. Putting him first. First, seek him first. Of all things in this world, seek him first, Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Now, I want to throw that word righteousness in there because we know that Jesus is righteous in all ways, and we're not righteous, none of us, according to Romans 3:23, because we have fallen short of his glory. But we want to glorify him with our lives. So if we have faith in our Father, put him first, and he will meet our needs. That's his promise. So this morning, quickly, we are going to see, in order to have true life in the Lord, we must place all of our cares and our burdens in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sometimes we've got to work on it, though, but it can be simplified if we take these key words, faith, Father, and first, and put them in that order, and we will have our needs met. Okay, so let's look at one thing today, verses 26 through 30. Worrying will not add to your life. It won't add anything. Actually, it will take away from your life. Worrying is not a good thing. So Jesus provided some examples of God's provision that we can observe all around us each day and every day. You think about that. He explained how the birds do not plant fields, tend crops, or reap harvest, or yet they are filled. They're fed, aren't they? You ever see a bird go hungry? Not at all. I haven't. And the flowers do not do any work. They don't spin wool to make clothing for themselves. And the Bible says, yet their beautiful colors are more glorious than the fine linen of king like Solomon. Those are some profound words, aren't they? Those are awesome. And then he pointed out that our God is the one who feeds the birds and makes the flowers beautiful. Now, even in our drought we're having right now, if you look around, you still see the flowers blooming and the things, and this is getting to fall, where life kind of fades out and so forth, but still we see the beauty that God provides in our lives. So, I want you to think about this morning. If we are making it a point to love Jesus, I want you to think about this now, and we are following him and serving him to the best of our ability, then all of our needs will be met. You agree with that? If we're following him, serving him, and loving him, according to the scriptures, and Jesus always tells the truth. He is the absolute truth. Our needs will be met. And the key word that I want us to emphasize is needs. Or there's something else that we could follow up with this, and the necessities of life. All the necessities are all the things that we need in life. And that's why Jesus said in 33, seek me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. And he's talking about those needs, the necessities of life will be yours. Didn't he love us so much that he gave his only begotten son, our Father, and he provides all the animals and the birds of the air? They don't go without want. They do. They get everything they need. So many times when people fret about food and clothing, they are really to feel insatiable or irrational desire for more than they really need in life. I was thinking about Philippians chapter 4:19, where it says, Paul says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." That's one of my favorite verses too. You like that verse? And we know it's true. God shall supply. And it's based upon what we read here this morning in 6:33, seek ye first God in his righteousness. And Jesus spoke in verse 27, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his statues?" Has any of you ever added any height? We may have gotten broader, but not any higher, right? Any taller. And that's because he provides us with good food, good things to eat, and he has blessed us with that. Now, the length of the cubit makes, I want us to kind of look at this, because in the scriptures, in the Greek form, it really spells this out to the point that helps us better understand why Jesus used cubit. The length of the cubit makes it 20.24 inches for the ordinary cubit, and 21.88 inches for the sacred one. So I thought I'd throw that in for the sacred cubit that God is talking about. You know, when Noah built the ark, you know, he gave us all the measurements. God gives us all the things that we need. All we got to do is be obedient and follow his instructions. Now, Jesus asked how a person can add any, and actually, when you think about it, that's 2 feet. 2 feet. Well, we can't even add an inch to our statue, to his highest, by worrying about it. So the answer is no one can. We can't do it by worrying. And the point he was making is that worrying does not amount to anything being added to your life. See that little boy? Yeah, he's looking up. There's some words up there. I can't read them, though. But maybe you can. But he is saying, don't worry, because that is a scripture that goes along with this verse. So we worry because we think that we can add things to our life. And these things that we're thinking about are the good things or the things that we want in life. But worry results in anguish and feeling of being torn apart. Jesus does not want our lives to be separated or torn apart by the things that we worry about that will not happen. That's what he's doing. It doesn't add one's life, but rather it subtracts from life. And it drains us emotionally, and it will drain us spiritually, and it gains life and drains us the life right out of us. A merry heart is good medicine, but worrying will dry up the bones, according to Proverbs 17:22. Now, going to verse 27, back to verse 27, and in Luke 12, here's that word, the scripture I wanted to use to parallel with verse 27 here in Matthew 6:12-25. When Jesus asked, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his statue?" Now, Matthew shared that, and so did Luke. That's the parallel I want us to see. Luke picked up on it. Matthew mentions it here. Which one of you by worrying can add one cubit to his life or statue? Then the gospel writer Luke records as Jesus following this statement with these thought-provoking words in verse 26, Luke 12:26, when he said, "If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest?" Doesn't leave anything uncovered. In other words, worrying about getting taller doesn't result in growing taller or anything in this life. So if worrying cannot change something that's small, then it certainly will not change something that's big. And now, in verse 28 here in Matthew, Jesus asks, so why do you worry about clothing? Or why do we worry about anything? Circumstances, situations in our life that we cannot change. There's a good saying, don't worry about something till you have something to worry about, right? Don't worry about something that hasn't happened, that you don't know whether or not it will happen or not. And we want to use excuse sometimes, we're just humans. Well, Jesus said, don't be human, just trust in me. Trust in the spiritual realm of the Heavenly Father, and we will be glorified. Now, Jesus said in verse 30, oh, you have little faith. And I was thinking about a particular book and chapter and verse that kind of sums this up. Hebrew writer, whoever that is, helps us better understand. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of those things we don't see or can't see. So faith, there's that word faith in the word Father and then first, those three words I mentioned earlier. So if we worry, then we are simply not putting our faith in God. According to what Jesus is saying, for faith is just the opposite of worry. It's better to have faith and not worry about anything. Because God knows our needs, and He will meet those. So in worrying, we perceive the future and try to make matters take matters into our own hands. In faith, we perceive the future, but turn it over to God and place our lives into His hands. Now, in conclusion, we place the future in God's hand. The future is in God's hands. Amen? It's a good thing that we don't know what the future brings, that we can anticipate or speculate and so things and the things that we see coming up in the next few weeks and months and so forth. But our responsibility is to pray. To pray. You know, I was listening to a message this morning coming in, and the pastor was preaching on the plagues that plagued Egypt. It affected their lives in so many different ways, not only the servants, but kings. Everybody was affected. And it was because of disobedience and not having faith that these plagues and all of the things that the Hebrews and the Egyptians, they all suffered together. But those who trusted in God, God provided a way out for them. He, through salvation, putting the blood over the doorpost, He provided a way because He wanted them to be saved. So we need to place our future in the hands of God, knowing that He will provide and that He is able to provide. Our closing scripture is Romans 8:32, which we read, He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Not only did He give us salvation, but anything else that follows that in this life, He didn't hold it from us. He freely gives it to us. And since God provided mankind for their greatest need, which is salvation from sin, I'll throw that in there, then it stands to reason that he can provide for much smaller things as life as well. Now I would say a big amen on that. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture this morning. This message might have been brief, but Lord, it was powerful. Words for us to comprehend, to perceive and apply to our lives. All we need is an open heart and a willing spirit to surrender and yield our life completely to you. Not just part of our lives, but all. As the song says, I surrender all. I yield all. And this morning, Lord, we come to you with humble hearts, contrite spirits, seeking your will for our lives, seeking your will for our church, for this community. And that is our responsibility to pray for one another. It is our responsibility to pray for our government. They don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers, but we know that you do. That's why we're not to fret or worry about anything. We should be concerned if we're not praying. We should be concerned if we're not putting forth every effort in our lives to do the things that you have commanded us to do. And that's where, from the very beginning of time, mankind has fallen short. History repeats itself, or we repeat history, because we fail to realize your goodness, your loving kindness, hesed, the Hebrew word for that. Seeking your righteousness, for the kingdom is at hand. And Lord, we can have a big part of growing your kingdom by sharing our faith. As Junior mentioned this morning, he had that opportunity last evening. We should do that each day. Pray for opportunities to share with other people that you bring our way. And you bring people to us and by us for that specific reason. For many people, most people are looking or seeking for the good things in life when they fail to see that you are the best thing in life. And we can be there to help point them in your direction. Lord, we know the cure for anxiety is trusting in you and surrendering and yielding our life to you. Focusing on the positive, not the negative. And then allowing your Holy Spirit to teach us your ways. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.